It's time to enter the world of real estate in Oahu with Hawaii's only true real estate radio show, the Team Lally Real Estate Show. Grab a pen and get ready to take notes. For the next full hour, Hawaii's premier real estate leader, Adrienne Lally, and Attilio Leonardi will bring you the latest in real estate news and real-world strategies on how they can guarantee to sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, or they'll buy it. Now, here are your hosts, Adrienne and Attilio.
Welcome to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program. We'll buy it. If you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596, or you can check us out online at teamlally.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Attilio, and today's word of the day for the art part of the show, Attilio's Random Thoughts, is the word gossip.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that word gossip. What does that mean, Adrian?
Well, it means that it's a negative kind of word.
You're saying things
that are maybe not necessarily true or...
That could be true,
but you shouldn't be talking about it.
And it's not necessarily whether it's true or not. What makes it kind of a...
Because the person that's involved, that it's involving, is not present.
Person that's involving. So it's, here's the word that I would say that everybody should think about with gossip. It's confidential information that was probably shared with you in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
That you shouldn't be sharing it with anyone else unless you have the permission of that person.
Yeah.
To share it.
So gossip. It even says it in the Bible. God does not like gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was listening to Pastor Rick Warren. If you ever want to listen to him, he's got the Daily Hope. It's a pretty cool podcast. I like the way that he talks as a pastor and as a Christian, because it's wisdom is what he's sharing with you. So it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, whether you're a Christian or not, or any other faith, the wisdom that he's sharing on his podcast is homogeneous to everybody on this planet, because it's true. It's true in that it's like a law of nature, gravity. Whether you're Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, if you jump off a building, do all three of those people go splat?
Yes.
That's right. It's physics. It's the law of nature. It's gravity. So gossip, I would say, is probably in that realm, in that as far as gossip is concerned, did you know gossip is like stolen information or stolen goods? You're supposed to say, well, what do you mean, Attilio?
How so?
I'm glad you asked.
I was pausing for emphasis.
No. You're pausing because you're like, what did you just said?
No, I heard you.
You're supposed to say, what do you mean, Attilio?
What do you mean, Attilio?
I'm glad you asked. So if you take a look at the law books, you are actually just as guilty if you knowingly buy or sell or participate in stolen goods.
Mm-hmm.
The penalties for you as the if you knowingly know, is just as stiff as the person who stole the items and is selling it to you.
Really?
So that's how I want you to think about. Mm-hmm. And he made a pretty good point. That's what gossip is. It's stolen information. And that in the eyes of whoever you want it to be, either people in your life, your social circles, karma coming back to you, God, whatever it is that when you gossip, you're just as by receiving the gossip and listening to it, and then even more so passing it on, mm-hmm. you're just as guilty as the gossiper. And here's the other thing about gossip. Everybody loves gossip, but everybody hates the gossiper. What does that mean?
That means that you don't want to be having that kind of reputation as sharing confidential information.
Yeah. So. And then he went to talk about like leadership. And here's what he said. Loyalty is about not gossiping about the leadership in whatever organization you are behind their backs. Or it's a given. Gossip. Nobody gossips in front of somebody else that they're talking about. It's always behind the scenes or back channel communication. And here's something else, and I think it's true. Do you know when gossip is occurring intuitively or some subconscious way?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Just like from like body language.
Yep. Right? Behavior changes, micro expressions. Mm-hmm. So in your workplace, in your family, in your any kind of organization that you're participating in, two things. If you want to have a healthier family relationship, business or personal organization, stop the gossip. Stop the gossip. Have a rumble with people, as Dr. Brené Brown says. Just go to the source if you got issues.
I think we should have a hashtag. Hashtag stop the gossip.
Stop the gossip. So anyway, that is Attilio's random thoughts for today. And as you know, if you've been a good, you know, a loyal listener that hasn't been gossiping about us, you'll know that these are not random thoughts, but these are things that as I listen to podcasts, go to webinars, read books, I'm always in a constant state of learning and growth. So as I come across things, I'm like, that would be good to share on the show. That's what happens at the beginning of our show.
And for more learning and growth, we have Duke Kim Han from Hawaii Pacific Property Management on the line with his tip of the week.
Hey, Duke.
Are you there, Duke?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
So, tip of the week this week is an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to allow pets in your unit, you're going to open up your units to having 7 out of 10 more people. So, everybody has pets today. And we're finding that 7 out of 10 people that are looking for a rental have a pet,
yes.
Whether it be cat. Most of them are small dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have large dogs, and some of them have multiple pets. So sometimes owners will say, oh, no pets. And I say, okay, well, great. Whatever you want to do with that. But I just want to let you know that 7 out of 10 applicants today have pets.
Yeah.
So you're eliminating, 70% of the people who may look at your unit. Now, how do we deal with the pets?
Yes.
If you allow a pet in your unit, then we'll do a 4-month walkthrough every 4 months. If you don't, then we'll walk through your unit every 6 months and give you an update and some pictures. But, with pets, we go in more often. We're looking for pet damage, maybe a little bit of carpet abuse or, some little puppy chewing on the corners of your baseboards.
and then you guys collect a pet deposit. As well.
Pet deposit.
Yep.
Sure. But there is so many emotional support pets out there and handicapped service animals that, by law, you can't negate them from coming to your unit.
Now,
so there's just so much going on in the pet side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, Bradley from Allstate had shared some information about
insurance.
Yeah, insurance and owners requiring their renters to get, I think they have like a pet rider. Depending on the type of breed, especially because, something were to happen with the renter's dog, it could potentially come back to the owner.
Well, we require any dangerous pet. The insurance industry has approximately 10 or 11 pets listed under dangerous breed model. And so if one of those fits in the dangerous breed, then we require them to get $100,000 liability additional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you still collect the pet deposit for the emotional and the service dogs?
Nope. That's a state and federal law.
Gotcha.
You cannot collect. Yeah, they're not even considered a pet. So we can't even call them a pet.
Anyway. I thought that's what the service animal, that also applies to the emotional ones too? Okay,
emotional support and service animal, yep.
No deposit, and you have to accommodate them. And they're like, who's that over there sitting at the table? Well, that's Charlie. Kind of furry this morning. So.
But, with that said, the tenant is required to abide by all on-premises HOA rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to register their pets and show proof of either service animal coordination or your emotional support, doctor's note, some HOAs require some kind of registration.
Gotcha.
Now, Duke, you can share with our listeners something that we learned early on. This was a few years back where we had an owner, right, that was adamant about not having pets.
It's okay for owners not to have pets. If they have allergies, they want to come back into the unit maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, they have children. There's a lot of reasons why you would not allow pets in your unit. And just for safety of your other people living in the building, or if you just have a strong aversion against pets, that's fine.
Yeah.
But this one involved, though, I guess this person had either a service animal or an emotional pet, and then they pulled out the the law books on the owner.
Yeah, well, back in the day when this was still the Wild Wild West of no pets and service animals, we had somebody that said they don't want any pets, and the tenant didn't even disclose that they had a service animal. Yeah. Actually, it was an emotional support.
Yeah.
And as they were moving in, I went to do the check-in, and there was a dog.
Uh-huh.
I said, you never listed this anywhere in your paperwork. And they said, you can't ask me about this dog. And I said, it's in the house. You have to disclose that it's an emotional support or service animal. Which one is it? And she said, legally, you can't even ask me about this. And, you know, we got them out of the unit.
Yeah.
They were not allowed to be in the unit because she didn't register the unit.
Gotcha.
Registered animal. She just had to say that she had a service animal.
Yeah.
But then she couldn't produce legal paperwork for it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty simple.
Yep.
So all the more reason, though, to have a professional property manager dealing with all of these laws.
Before you get in hot water.
Have somebody professionally take care of that.
Yeah.
And the property management fee is tax deductible. So why would you even worry about that if you're not somebody that's seasoned in property management?
Yeah, the lawsuit's not worth the hassle of missing something big like that, especially with the new laws. And then be positive about it, right? You probably can command, you know, a little bit higher rent, not because they have pets, but just because you're opening up to the wider market, right?
Yeah, actually, our advertising is reaching out to approximately 20,000 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people looking for rentals
with the
in
pets.
Honolulu, where the home prices are so high.
Yeah. And
get a professional.
Yeah. And then you keep the relationship professional with the pet. I think the other thing, too, that we learned from you, too, is that you actually go in and make sure that that's the pet that they say they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then
register a picture.
A Mastiff is way different than a Chihuahua.
That's right. So you confirm.
So
yeah, and we can also do a free home rental analysis to see what your home will rent for.
Yes.
And that's no cost to anybody. So use a professional.
Yeah. The other thing, too, pets are becoming such a big issue with renters that I think there's sites out there that just say, you know, they market what rentals are pet friendly, like petsok.com and stuff like that.
Yep.
So,
And anybody today can go online and get a emotional support or service animal vest for their dog and just pay a fee. That doesn't mean that they're registered,
they're valid,
or they're trained, or they're really that kind of pet. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I think that you'd be best served with your $500,000 rental unit minimum.
Yeah.
Some of them are $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So get somebody professional to take care of your house.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I think there was some new law in the books. I don't know if it's being proposed or if it's there, but it's actually creating harsher penalties for people who do the fake emotional support.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. So. They should have consequences for that.
There's a fine listed with that, but it's hard to prove that.
Yeah.
On top of that, the airlines are cracking down. The hotel industry is cracking down on all that. Because everybody's getting tired of being frauded by people.
Yeah. So go out there. Duke says, be honest. It's easy. It's easier. Just go be honest.
Or just go rent from an owner that allows pets.
Yeah.
And follow the process.
Okay.
Register your
really
pet.
Easy.
All right. Thank you, Duke.
Thank you.
Thanks, Duke.
Bye-bye.
All right, so you can get a hold of Duke and his team at 445-9223.
Wait. And then this is the part where I say...
For that free rental analysis.
And then you can also check them out where?
Online at hipacificpm.com. Also, look them up on Yelp. They've got a lot of...
Lots of reviews.
Lots of great reviews.
Couple crazies in there, but that's how you know all the other reviews are legitimate.
Because
you got a couple crazy ones in there.
All right. And then before we take a break, I want to just mention briefly that we do have a career night coming up on March 2nd, the first Monday of March from 5 to 6. And you got an RSVP. Last one we had, it was completely full.
Yeah. And so here are the websites you want to, three websites. JoinTeamLally.com if you're thinking about joining our team. And Hawaii Career Night if you want to check out our career nights. And then Hawaii Agent Mastermind, what's that one about?
Hawaii Agent Mastermind is once a month. I think it's the first Thursday of every month. We have a guest speaker coming out to teach us something awesome that will help us to be, you know, better business people, better entrepreneurs, better agents.
You know, when I said it was three websites, I lied. Get one more. The other website is teamlallynewhomes.com.
Oh, yes.
Teamlallyhomes.com. We have new construction projects all over Oahu, literally. It's just pure timing. Kahuku, Wahiwa, Enchanted Lakes. We got some vacant lots in Olamana. What else we got coming down the pipe? We may have some low-rise condominiums in Kailua. It just keeps going and go. Oh, and then we may have some homes in Kaneohe overlooking the water.
Yes.
So you might want to check out teamlallynewhomes.com. So, hey, we're about to take a break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with Joffrey. Is it Kudiamat? Kudiamat of Structure Hawaii Incorporated. He'll be talking to us about Structural Hawaii is the best choice for providing architectural design engineering services. So stay tuned.
Tired of waiting 2-3 months to finalize your home loan or refinance? Jody Tonga and her team at Pacific Rim Mortgage have a turn time of 30 days or less by processing your loans locally.
Take advantage of today's low interest rates by calling our good friend Jody Tonga of Pacific Rim Mortgage. Her personal cell is 488-5510. That's 488-5510.
Hey, Adrian, guess what?
What, Attilio?
Jody has a huge secret.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
I can tell you.
Yes, you can.
Okay, here it is. Jody has a free home buying guide that reveals insider tips others may not want you to know.
Wow, how do I get this free home buying guide?
Easy. Just go to her website, pacificrim.com. That's PAC or PACRIMMTG.com.
I see the free home buyer guide has valuable information that can help me avoid mistakes and could cost me tens of thousands of dollars over the lifetime of my loan.
Yes. So check out their site. That's pacificrim.com or give her a call at 488-5510. That's 488-5510. What's the website?
It's PAC, P-A-C, RIM, R-I-M, Mortgage, M-T-G.com. Hawaii, NMLS ID 1032554.
If you're looking for an outstanding insurance agent that will personally help you during the moment of truth, we recommend Bradley Maruyama with Allstate Insurance.
So, Attilio, what do you mean by the moment of truth?
Well, the best insurance is the insurance you never have to use, but we know that's not how life works. So when life happens, you can count on Bradley and his team to exceed your expectations for your insurance needs.
Keep in mind that when buying a home, the cost of home insurance should be taken into consideration. I trust Bradley with my own personal home, so you should give him a call. Call Bradley with Allstate Insurance at 591-801.
Hi, I'm Barbara Corcoran. To sell your home on time for the most money, you need a sharp agent with a marketing strategy that creates the most demand. Bottom line, you need a partner willing to put their own money on the line for you.
In Hawaii, I would hire Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi. Their marketing strategy is so effective that if your home doesn't sell on terms you agree to, Team Lally will buy it.
Partner with the team I trust. Go online or call and get your home sold.
Hey, it's your friend Sean Hannity, and as you know, I am not afraid to be honest and say exactly what I feel. When it comes to selling your home, you need to know there are real estate agents out there that just rely on yard signs, well, and a few $100 of marketing. Now, I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you about a team of real estate agents whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi of Team Lally Real Estate Group of Keller Williams, Honolulu. Now, Adrian and Attilio spend thousands of dollars every month and attract hundreds of buyers every week. Now, because of that, if they can't sell your home at a price and deadline that you agree to, they will buy your home. Real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Team Lally in Hawaii. And if I needed to sell a home in Hawaii, well, I would call Team Lally. Call Team Lally now at 799-9596. Online at 808GuaranteedSale.com. That's 808GuaranteedSale.com. And consider your home sold.
The Team Lally Real Estate Show continues. Give it to me.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, or we'll buy it. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Attilio.
And if you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596, or you can check us out online at teamlally.com.
Our guest today is the owner of Structural Hawaii Incorporated, a design and engineering firm. He was born and raised in Hawaii, attended Pearl City High School, and earned a bachelor's degree at the University of Southern California.
He's the incoming president for the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii and was also president of Structural Engineers Association of Hawaii. He was recently named the Filipino Entrepreneur of the Year by FCCH. Please welcome our guest today, Geoffrey Cudamat.
Hi. Cudamat. Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, Attilio and Adrian. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Tell us about your first name. That's an interesting first name.
It's an old English root, okay. Geoffrey with a Joe.
With a Joe.
And so it's typically spelled with a G, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, but I was born on January 1st.
Okay.
So my parents got creative and changed the first letter of my first name to a J for January. So it's Geoffrey.
So a New Year's Day baby.
New Year's Day baby, yes. I was not the first baby born that year, but...
Close,
yeah. Everyone is celebrating with fireworks for me.
I thought maybe like your mom and dad was like, I want to name him Jeff. No, I want to name him Joe. And then they went arm wrestle. And then your mom was strong and she couldn't, you know, it was stalemate. So they went with Geoffrey. But that's a good history on that first name. Interesting first name. It's memorable.
Game of Thrones. It became popular from Game of Thrones recently.
Oh, yeah.
And, and also Geoffrey the Giraffe, I guess spells it similarly.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So Geoffrey from Game of Thrones is in the studio today. did that character get murdered or is he still in the episode? He's still in the episode? Oh, he's gone. That's okay.
I don't know if he follows it.
I think it's over.
Okay. So let's talk about your company. You know, local style. You know, I'm glad we got the high school thing out of the way. Oh, what was the guy's mascot? for
Chargers. We're the Chargers. Chargers.
And so local style, we like to get to know a little bit about the person. You told us, you know, about your, we know a little bit about you from the intro, know about the origins of your first name. How did you, you know, there's a lot of young people, parents of people going off to college. How did you get into structural engineering? What was your path of travel for that?
Structural engineering, well, my dad was a contractor. And he, you know, growing up, doing drawings for him in high school and doing those routing permits for him. I was introduced to the industry from an early age.
Okay.
And so he was my inspiration, really planted the seeds for me getting into this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I know this is for Structural Hawaii, but I also own a contracting business, which is called Structural Builders Hawaii, which is a sister company that I own, working in partnership with Structural Hawaii. So I have my roots in construction, and he encouraged me to get into engineering and architectural design.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went off to the University of Southern California, USC, and studied under this special curriculum, which included architectural design work under the engineering program. So it's in civil, you get your degree in civil engineering with a structural emphasis. So I kind of got the best of both worlds where you're doing design work as well as structural engineering.
Yeah. So, I mean, and for the layperson that's listening, explain to them, you know, it's like the architect, they do the renderings and all of that and have the overall design, but you guys, the engineers are the ones that make sure that the building don't fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. If you can think of it as a human body,
yeah.
A structural engineer is kind of like the bones of a human body. They
they
make sure that it's stiff and it can withstand any type of force on it. It gives it its rigidity.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, thinking of it like an architect would be the aesthetics, you know, your skin, what your hair looks like, the you
floor
know, dressing,
plan.
The,
yeah.
Right, the floor plan. And, you know, of course, the mechanical engineers are like the organs of your body and the electrical engineers, your nervous system. So if you think of it as a human body, the structural engineer is kind of the skeleton of the body.
Gotcha.
Now, with you being involved in both the construction side and the, you know, design side, tell us a little bit about how they collaborate together.
There's definitely some synergy in both. And so they help each other. Knowing how to construct things helps on the design side, but also knowing the codes and understanding the reasons why the codes are written the way they are help on the construction side as well. And so we can advise our clients that way. There's definitely some synergies. And, you know, you talked about gossip earlier in your program. And so I always go to sites and meet with clients and they say, oh, I heard this and I heard that. And but they don't really have the full understanding of why things are the way they are. So understanding the construction side as well as the way the code is written helps me educate the clients better, and so they can make better decisions.
Yeah. So talk to us about, we always know that it's always, you know, if you know, people get all upset about the building codes and all of that, and you never hear anybody like, yeah, I had a very pleasant experience, everything was approved, and we built our home on time, and everything was super awesome. That does happen, but everybody only likes to talk about the negatives. Granted they have it there, but there's reasons, right? Because then everybody just be building willy-nilly. And if you go to, perfect example, you go to third world countries.
Yes.
There's no building codes. Everybody just build whatever, anywhere.
And then there's like landslides, things just unsafe. Right? Yeah. Unsafe structures.
Well, we know the mall wasn't safe. How you know? Because it fell over and killed everybody who was shopping that day. But,
that's awful.
That's so rare in the United States. No. So tell us about here's the big one that everyone wants to know. Because you did it since you were a child. When you were younger, how do you navigate the bureaucracy or just the red tape down at Department of Planning and Permitting? What's your...
Well, there's a lot of red tape that you have to go through.
Steps and processes.
But you talked about basically two different things, and so I want to kind of separate them. One is dealing with the city and county or, whatever municipality they're building code approval. But the other side is, you talked about collapses and catastrophic events.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the building code is really about life safety. And it's not necessarily just about structures, but it's also about, proper egress, fire sprinklers, all of those things that an architect or a mechanical or an electrical engineer would have to engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And so life safety is first and foremost. And so that's kind of how the building codes are written. But having to deal with the city is another animal in itself. And so, the codes have gotten more and more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, before I remember the days where we could go over the counter and submit your plans and on two or three pages, and then you would get a permit that afternoon if you go in the morning.
Yeah.
Those days are long behind us. And I think it's primarily because the codes have gotten so complicated. And so they've separated different agencies to review specific things. So you got the Board of Water Supply reviewing, plumbing and water requirements. You got the Wastewater Division. You got traffic review. You got you have the Civil Engineering Branch for grading. You have there's just a myriad of different agencies that have their hand in reviewing the plans for code compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there even you have the fire department even reviewing plans
HECO
now and HECO. Yeah. There's just different agencies that get involved. The state gets involved with, if there's a septic system or if it's near water, coastal issues, or if there's, there's just so many different agencies that have their hand in approving the plans. And so I think that's part of the reason why it's taking so long to get plans approved, because your plans are getting routed to so many different agencies.
Yeah. So back in the day, it was like morning to afternoon.
Yeah.
And then now, like, what's the average?
Ooh, it varies. And it depends on the size of the project. Mm-hmm. It depends on how complex it is. It depends how busy they are. And, you try to get a building permit in December when it's Christmas time and everybody's taking off.
Yeah.
There's no movement, right? So my experience has been that it can take over 6 months. There's been projects where we can get permits within a month, but some projects can take over a year. And, it's just all over the chart. And we can... some projects in Hawaii, there are very unique lots. And so there's special districts, Waikiki Special District.
Mm-hmm.
There's coastal issues. There's landslide areas.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many different special conditions for several lots. If they're part of an association, that may... you may run into zoning issues. And, there's just so many. So I think... it varies. It varies from property to property for sure.
I thought I was exaggerating. The general rule of thumb I always heard with building something is that it's going to cost you twice as much and take three times as long. That's what I always hear. Twice as much and three times as long. And so if we come in with that expectation and then it's happened, it doesn't cost twice as much and it doesn't take three times as long, then we're better set up to not be disappointed.
Well, it sounds like because of the collaboration between the construction side and the design
And engineering.
And engineering that with that communication that you're able to keep the costs down and avoid costly mistakes because of the lack of communication between the two groups.
It'd be more efficient.
Right. Yeah. But there's other things that our company does that makes us a little bit more unique than other designers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we do is we have a 3D scanning machine, which I think we're the only company here that has a 3D, state-of-the-art 3D scanning machine. So what that does is allows us to get into the space and set it up. It takes a couple of minutes per room. Mm-hmm. It shoots millions and millions of points, and it gets all this data that allows us to create correct as-built conditions. So if
in your renderings, in your 3D renderings.
Right. Not only in the renderings, but as far as layouts, understanding how close they are to the property line, how thick certain walls are. Because mm-hmm. we're able to do this 3D scan, we can get accurate information, which can be problematic in the field if as-built conditions are drawn wrong on the plans.
Yes.
So having accurate information that helps us, with reduce RFIs, requests for information from contractors or mm-hmm. homeowners, and reducing that unknown is very helpful. There are other things, we are a certified third-party review company. We can do residential. We can do commercial reviews, which helps expedite permits.
Yes.
We actually have, I own another company, an offshore company in the Philippines mm-hmm. where we provide drafting and engineering services. Ooh. And so what that does is allows us to work around the clock. So while we're working here, we do the design work, we'll do red lines, and we'll submit it to our offshore company that I own. Uh-huh. And they can work while we're sleeping. They're working at night. While we sleep in the morning, we'll have the files done. And so we try to expedite things by working around the clock, and it saves.
You guys have menahunis working for you.
Menahunis.
You keep hearing about these different companies. No wonder you're named Entrepreneur of the Year.
Yeah.
So you were named Entrepreneur of the Year for which year?
This year.
This year.
Well, this year by the
Filipino Chamber of Commerce.
And then you're the incoming president?
I am the incoming president as of July 2020.
Yes. Oh, right on. And you guys, it's in the, they have the Philcom Center, right, in Waipahu?
Yes, I was on the board on the Philcom Center several years ago prior to me. I actually had to step down from being on the board because I was appointed by the mayor. At one point in time, I was the chief engineer for the city and county of Honolulu.
Oh, wow.
I was a director for the Department of Facility Maintenance. And because being a director takes up so much time, I had to step down from the Philcom Center board. But so the Philcom Center is actually separate from the Chamber of Commerce,
gotcha.
Although the Philcom Center was an idea of the chamber.
Mm-hmm. So do they meet there, the chamber?
No, the chamber.
That's what I thought. You're helping me correct this.
Yeah.
I thought everything
get
was
it straight.
Yeah. It's a great meeting facility, although we find it better to meet at restaurants mm-hmm. or
nice.
Where we can eat.
Julie's in Kapolei.
Julie. No.
But okay, that makes sense, and that's an excellent facility. We've been there for I don't know how many events.
Lots of real estate training events are held over there.
Yeah, really nice facility. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the build design, all of that stuff. Let's talk a little bit about Bill 7. I've been doing some research, and Bill 7, for those of you who don't know, it was actually, let's see here, May 2019, City and County Honolulu passed Bill 7, which is a 5-year pilot project. They give substantial incentives to property owners who develop affordable rental housing for local residents, everything from tax breaks to exemptions from normal building code requirements. I know you're getting some calls for
people. And then
people.
Also it's a 90-day approval. So instead of the six months.
6 months,
it's 90 days is what they say.
Now,
it's
a pilot program. Yep. So what do you mean? What does it mean when it's a pilot program? We're testing them testing them out. So we heard that there's a firm that has, they're 80 days into the 90 days, so they're crossing their fingers, toes, holding their breath mm-hmm. for 10 more days to see if it's actually going to through, but they said it's looking good. So what have you, if you've got a landowner out there, we understand it's got to be 20,000 square feet or less, and AMX is the zoning or BMX. So either you can use American Express or you can ride bicycles on them.
No.
Is that what that? No. That means it's, apartment, residential zoning, and then BMX is business mixed use.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So how would that look like? What would be your advice to landowners like that that may want to get a hold of you?
Well,
regarding Bill 7.
Bill 7 is a great incentive that the city has put together for property owners or developers trying to maximize the density on their property.
Yeah.
And so the bill comes with a lot of incentives. Normally when you do a development, you're limited by the amount of parking, which restricts your occupancy.
Okay.
And so what the bill does is reduces the parking requirement. Mm-hmm. And so by eliminating the parking requirement, you're able to squeeze more more units onto a property.
Yes.
And so that, along with other incentives such as removing the park dedication fee and mm-hmm. other fees, is a great opportunity for a landowner. I think it's, you mentioned AMX and BMX, but I think it's also apartment A1 mm-hmm. or A2
yep.
okay. apartment zone properties. And so there are a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. We've had several potential prospective clients that have approached us just questioning yeah. about it. And I've met with several of the different banks. They all have special programs. But I think the limiting factor is because you are able to build so much on a property. A lot of these owners already owned the property, had owned the property for several years, mm-hmm. and they just maybe just don't have the funding source for such a big development. And so that's the challenge. I think anybody who would want to do it, I mean, it's just like finding gold on your property. Yeah. You can mm-hmm. build so much into that property and build a lot of equity. You can build a lot of affordable housing. And the incentive on the city side is really to create more housing because
yes,
there is
for
a
local
shortage.
People.
Right. There is yeah. a shortage of housing.
Yeah. Now, they talked about assembling a team as one of the steps. So, by the way, for you folks, I got to give a big shout out to Bank of Hawaii because Cheyenne down there at Bank of Hawaii and their commercial lending division put together a get-together as well as a guide. It's called Making the Most of Bill 7, a complete guide to developing affordable housing rentals in Honolulu. So tell Cheyenne you heard about it on the Team Lally Real Estate Radio Show, but they said it's the key. I think this is true of anything. Put together a team. So they talk about the architects. You mm-hmm. guys, and you guys are architects?
We do yes. the design and engineering.
They talk mm-hmm. about general contractor. You guys
we
general
can do
contractor?
That as well.
Yep.
They talk about engineering. You guys engineers?
We're engineers. I'm a licensed yep. structural and civil engineer.
There we go.
First
There's
three.
Your team.
First three right there with Joffrey already. And then Joffrey and then attorney. They said get an attorney, you know, and all of that. And then get your, obviously, your bank loan officer. Now, here's the last one. Because you're thinking, Attilio, Adrian, how come you guys bringing this up on the show? Because we have the last component, which is our good friend, Du Kim Han, over at Hawaii Pacific Property Management.
Mm-hmm.
They do what?
They manage properties.
Manage properties.
And they can also do a rental analysis and make sure that the numbers work.
Yeah, because yep. you need a pro forma on the possible rentals so that when you're lining up your budget, here's one of the things we learned, and if you've been hearing this, is that because it's affordable rentals, you're not building luxury condos mm-hmm. and selling them for hundreds of thousands of dollars. You got to have a budget. So, and you guys help them with that too?
Well, we can help on the construction side, construction
yeah.
budget.
Construction
for sure.
budget is what I was talking about. Yeah. So this is the part where, again, if you're a legacy landowner, you got that parking lot that's only making X amount of dollars per, mm-hmm. per month, or, you know, maybe you got one shed on there. You're not doing anything with it. You're just paying the property taxes year after year and not receiving any income. Here's a win-win from the city. I'm all about it because it's creating more affordable rentals for families here in Hawaii. But you got to have the right team. So it sounds like you guys got three of the six already.
We're halfway there.
That's
no
right.
brainer. No brainer to call you guys. So
and I've got a good number here.
What's that?
For them to call them.
What's the number?
488-5000. And then also, if you want to check them out online, structuralhawaii.com. So you can kind of take a look at all of the options that you have, you know, depending on your situation, right?
Yeah, and it's a free consultation. Mm-hmm. If you're just wondering about the bill, several people have come to us regarding it. The bill is a few pages long, and so yes. and there's some. So it's good to have the paper in front of you and yes. kind of go through the questions. There are some limitations, and you know, just understanding what the parameters are is important, and therefore you can make a better decision. But it's a great incentive, and it'll sunset in 5 years. So
yeah.
I think we're 1 year into it, mm-hmm. about 1 year into it. So we got 4 years left.
So if you're a homeowner out there, a landowner out there, if you're in any of these components, you might want to act upon this now because it's not going to be around forever. And it's, so we're creating a sense of urgency. And why not? Do people need affordable rentals when they need them?
Now.
They need
like
them
yesterday.
Now.
They need them yesterday.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
yeah they need it now.
So behind the curve.
Take care of these people that are out there, you know, supporting Hawaii's economy by giving them a decent place to live.
Mm-hmm. So now, like if someone were to have, you know, maybe land that's not zoned, you know, for the Bill 7, do you take a look at the lot and you're able to give them a
maximum
like a consultation and different options? Or
definitely, and again, this is a free consultation. We do a scoping meeting, which where we meet at the property site, mm-hmm. or they can come into our office in Pearl City. We basically look at the property, understand what the zoning is, you know, whether it's R5, apartment use, AMX, BMX, what have you, country zone. And there are different rules specific for that zoning. And so just understanding what all those requirements are and the limitations are, but also what you can do on the property is important. So just understanding what you can do is really helpful. A lot of clients, and you know, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we always know is that it's or one of my favorite sayings is that, Adrian, you remember the second half? It's a wise person learns from their own mistakes.
Oh, and a happy person learns from the mistakes of others.
Yeah.
So let's be happy.
So, you know, there's been mistakes that you know, obviously no one's perfect. We all make mistakes. What kind of mistakes have you either seen out there where you've learned from, or have you seen projects that you had to maybe come in behind and clean them up that people would learn to know about so they can be happy?
There are a lot of things that come up in design, and the problem is the codes are constantly changing. And so people may have understood a rule to be a certain way. For instance, like the wet bar rule, right? Before everybody, you know, you can do a wet bar, and then they would do two of the three elements, which is, you know, a cooktop or and a sink or a refrigerator and a sink. But now the code is written in such a way where they don't allow the cooktop at all. They only allow a sink and a refrigerator. And people may not know that. And so when they go through the design process, they may include a cooktop. Or, I mean, that's just one example, but it changes every month. And so understanding the rules that are in play will help expedite, say, your permit process or, you know, other considerations. And so consulting with an expert, somebody that specializes in that field is important, and to get that information so you don't go down the wrong path.
How many years you've been doing this? And
over 15 years. That's when we incorporated in 2004. Yeah, so a little over 15 years. I've been doing this obviously a little longer than that.
Your whole life.
Yeah. Grew up in the industry.
And so tell us about some projects, past or present or future, that you might want to give people an idea of what you're involved with.
Well, we do a lot of a variety of projects. We do on the design side. For some reason, we've been doing a lot of churches. We have a handful of churches.
Oh, man. You get your space already reserved in heaven. God's like, okay, we're watching this boy over here. He's good. He's good. He's making the churches for us. Thank you.
Yeah, so dealing with churches is unique in itself because you are dealing with a committee normally, and you know, they have a lot of ideas, and you know, understanding the funding requirements. But it's fulfilling to do churches. We've been doing a lot of churches for some reason. We do a lot of residential design and construction, light commercial, tenant improvements, light industrial projects. We do a lot of kind of smaller projects, if you will, less than $2 million.
Okay.
On the design, on the construction side, on the design side, we have our hands in, you know, big projects as well. But not only in the design side, we also have our structural engineering section, which handles just structural engineering. So we can do engineering consultation for other architects, or we do engineering consultation. You know, we do structural assessments, which is always needed when people are buying and selling property. You know, so we kind of have our hands in a lot of different things.
Now, I know in the Bill 7, there are certain parts of the island where if you want to keep your vacancy down and your rents, you know, at the higher end of what is it, 80% of the AMI, the average medium income, that you might want to think, even though parking is not required, to include it. So talk more about the engineering. We were at this event, they're like, now it's different with costs and typically
to lift the building.
They're lifting the building because the footprints are a little bit small, so it's not like parking outside, it's going to be underneath. Talk about that and what potential landowners in this situation might need to be aware of.
Well, it's more attractive if you have parking on the property, right? And if you can drive a car and have a parking stall, some people, that's priceless, more appealing.
Yeah,
exactly. And but I think the city is really trying to steer it towards workforce housing and using public transportation, using multimodal transportation, including bicycle lanes and walking and
ride share.
Yep. You know, there's so many different options now, and just trying to reduce traffic by eliminating cars, by not having parking stalls on your property that reduces the amount of cars on the road.
Gotcha.
Although may or may not, that's debatable, right? They can just park in the street or
further. It depends. The new thing we keep hearing from developers, especially in Ward Village, is walkability indexes walkability. You know, sounds like an album. Walkability. I'm coming out with my new album called Walkability.
Yeah, if everything is right there, then like there's no need to get in the car. It's kind of like a pain in the butt. Oh, I got to go get in and I got to find parking.
Insurance,
That's true in places like New York. Plenty of people don't own cars. Mm-hmm. Here's something, and I don't know if it's still true today, but I've heard it on the news. We have more registered cars on Oahu than actual licensed drivers.
Yeah.
I have a few cars under my name.
There you go, see?
Me too.
Me too. So it's like, yeah, I'm all for that, to reducing the cars, because I think we're top 10 for traffic too. And not in a good way, not in the good list. Yes. They're talking about the bad list.
Yeah.
Especially in that corridor from Honolulu to the west side, and even going extending out to the east side. So anything coming up as far as owners in the TOD, the transient?
Transit-oriented
development areas along the rail?
There are, you know, historically, if you look at development along rail lines in the mainland or, you know, even in Asia where rail lines are popular, there is substantial growth and density at the stations. And so that's what they call the transit-oriented development. And so you see a lot of apartments and, you know, a much denser population around the stations. And so there are opportunities. I see some projects coming on board, and we've had our hands in some of them. And they're slowly rezoning the areas to allow for more density.
Okay.
And so that's coming on board. And, you know, for people like me in the design and construction industry, it's good to see that type of perspective in the future, where there's a lot of development and growth in those areas.
Okay.
Now, with all these businesses and companies that you're involved with, you must constantly be looking for talent.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit, like, are you looking for anyone to join any of your companies now? And what would that person look like?
We want good, qualified people, and we're not about just hiring anyone that can have a good resume. It has to be a right fit for our company. We recently hired a new designer. We have a pretty talented staff as it is. One of our designers used to be an employee of the city as a plan reviewer, and so it's helpful because this person understands the ins and outs and how to prepare the plan so you can get them approved quicker and with less comments. Having him on board, bringing in, you know, talented designers that fit well with our company, it's a privilege to have that in your office. And so we're thankful for that, but it has to be the right fit.
Okay. So if there's anyone out there that sounds like they want to interview...
Yes.
Right. You can just go to your website, thestructuralhawaii.com.
StructuralHawaii.com. And we offer internships for college students. It's pretty common. We have several resumes that come in and we evaluate them. I went to Pearl City High School as a valedictorian there mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I am also the chair for their engineering academy at Pearl City.
Oh, nice.
And so they're always looking at opportunities for high school students to intern. There's actually a push in the DOE to convert schools to the CTE, Career and Training Education.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the Leeward Coast, all their schools have switched over to CTE education. Waipahu's, they have two programs that are nationally accredited, I think two or three programs. And so you'll start seeing students coming right out of high school that are workforce ready. They're ready to enter the workforce, and that's different from when I was in high school. And so it's good to see.
Well, I think a lot of times our education system and our mindset is to push people to go to college, which you did go to, but not everybody is designed or, you know, is want to go in that direction. And they I think it was on 60 Minutes. They took a look at a guy that was a mechanic versus somebody that had gone through 4 years of education. And, you know, not, I mean, if I'm always a big fan, if you go in for those degrees that you need the degree to
you
be an engineer.
You need a surgeon to get a degree, right? Yeah. But you don't need to be a businessman to have a degree.
Yeah, I don't want the you know, the guy that slept in the Holiday Inn operating on my brain.
No.
So I want the certified, you know, gone to all the schooling. But they looked at it as far as like 5 years into the future, the college student still had all the student loans, didn't have a good job. Mm. And the vocational person that just went straight into a CTE program already had a house, had their own car, they had money in the bank in the same time period. And neither who is to say which one is the better path of travel? But I think it's depending on what does that person want to do.
Right.
So,
and I think that's great that your company offers those internships and that you're so involved in the school to, you know, help bring up those future architects and engineers. Structural engineers.
There's a shortage of engineers on this island. And I know Pearl Harbor, you know, the people out in the shipyard, mm-hmm. they're looking for engineers.
Yes.
In our industry, I was the past president of the Structural Engineers Association mm-hmm. of Hawaii. And, you know, it seems like the universities aren't putting out as many structural engineers, and there are a shortage of structural engineers. There's just so many options, you know. Yeah. There's so many different fields of engineering, as an example. So people have options, and it can get, you know. But there is a need for structural engineers out there.
Gotcha. And we're going to help
That's
them.
Great. And now, before we're coming to close to the end of our show, was there anything that we didn't touch on that we should have touched on with you before we let you go?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Adrian and Attilio, for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to try to share whatever information is in my brain.
Yeah.
And I just want to let it out. And so thank you for giving me this opportunity, and thank you for having me represent Structural Hawaii.
Well, thank you for demonstrating to our local people that local people born and raised here can make it if mm-hmm. you hard work and you put your mind to it, and you can succeed. You don't need... Not everybody need move Vegas.
So stay put.
You can stay here. Get one engineering degree. Make good money. Come work with Joffrey and his crew, and stay in Hawaii.
That's right.
So,
all right. We've got Howard on the line to share with us some open houses and new homes before we end the show.
Howard, what you got for us?
You there?
Yes, I am. And we're going to do a quick tour here. We're going to start in Waipahu and end up in Kapolei.
Okay.
We have a very, very affordable three-bedroom, one-bath in Tsukasa in Waipahu that just came on the market, and that first open house is this Sunday from 2 to 5. It has a newer kitchen with granite countertops, a new cabinetry, has some window AC units, nice, easy-to-maintain kind of flooring. And the complex features community laundry and a playground, and obviously close to everything. Then we're going to take a short trip up the road to Ewa Beach. And that property is located in Ewa Gentry Cortobello. And it's a three-bedroom, two-bath with a nice little private yard.
Mm-hmm.
And maintenance fees cover your sewer and water. And it's located next to just about everything. Parks, schools, golfing, up the road from some beaches. And that's going to be a grand open for both of these homes.
All right. Well, we've got to wrap the show up. So thanks for listening, and thank you to our sponsors.
Jody Tunga and Derek Tunga of Pacific Rim Mortgage.
Bradley Mariama of Allstate Insurance.
Kenji Vendetta of Pillar to Post Home Inspection.
Janice Merland of Dreamhouse Drafting.
John Spee with Kilauea Pest Control.
Duke Kim Han of Hawaii Pacific Property Management.
And Thomas Patterson with Patterson Land Surveying. If you want to get a hold of any of our sponsors, just go to teamlally.com.
We also want to give a big thank you to Leah, our producer here in the studio.
Chee-hoo.
Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have an awesome guest talking about something that'll change your life
forever. This is the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the guaranteed
sold program. If we can't sell your home at the agreed upon price and our time frame, we'll have it bought for cash.
Thanks and aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Team Lally.